Welcome to Job Tales, the show where we find out about different professions from the people who know. Each week I'll speak to a new guest with an inspiring job. We talk to journalists, sales managers, marketers, veterinarians, you name it. We hear about their personal paths to doing what they do, the skills required and the tools that they use for the job. I'm Laura Leoncini and today my guest is Darren Mackey, Second AD, meaning Second Assistant Director. This job is very crucial to the success of a film production, but I won't tell you more. Darren, welcome to my show. As an introduction to this fascinating world of filmmaking, let's start by explaining what does a second AD do?
The second AD is the person who works a lot off the actual shooting floor, and they organize, coordinate all the cast movements, the background extras movements, stunt performers. A second AD makes sure that all those people have the information so that they know where to be at what time, and you know, to go through which department. Do they go through costume first, makeup first? Do they get their prosthetics done? Are they allowed to go to breakfast? What time are they being picked up? What time are they due on set? So we basically logistically organize all these people to go through the various departments so that they are ready 100% when they go to set for the director to start shooting their film or television series or whatever it may be. That's the basics of it. Within that, we also are collecting and coordinating with all the other departments, collecting all the information that needs to go onto what we call the call sheet, which is the daily run sheet of all we are doing, all the scenes that we're shooting, all the elements that are required to shoot those scenes, props, you know, what kind of wounds a actor may have that day. So is there a prosthetic piece that needs to go on? So all these various bits of information are collected by the second AD and put into a call sheet. So there is one place for the whole crew to go to look at the day's work.
The call sheet is basically the daily Bible for everyone, and you're in charge of that call sheet. I mean, whatever you put on that one is going to be the instructions for all the departments. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so that's a big role. And when I think a second AD, you know, second assistant director, what is the link to a director? Does it have to do with assisting the director?
Yes, it can do. Depending on the show or the production, the second AD during prep especially, we deal a lot with the director because the director is sort of asking for all these elements that they want for their show. And that can be making sure that they have access to the cast during prep for rehearsals or making sure that they might say, you know, the cast need to do a particular or know a particular skill to perform in their scene. So as the second AD, we would then go to whatever department that be. Maybe it's a stunt or it's they need to know how to DJ, like spin records. And so we would find someone within the art department who knows that, or the art department would bring someone in and we'd organize the time for the actor to then be with that person. So they can learn that skill so that when it comes to the day of shooting, A, the actor knows what they're doing, they're comfortable, and it makes it look like they've been doing it for 20 years, if that's what the story entails.
Right. So you're basically also covering all the time to the shooting. Is that correct? Like, for instance, all the trainings and choreography, if there's, you know, if there's dances and all this?
Yeah, that's correct, yes. So having worked on different productions, like a Bollywood production in the UK, and just making sure that, you know, the cast were, again, making sure that they got to the rehearsals on time, because Bollywood dances, they're quite intricate. So they need to know how those dances go so that when we do shoot, you know, they're comfortable, and it takes less time to shoot. And obviously time on a film set is quite valuable.
Valuable, yeah. So it is, I remember from Black Sails, it was such a, I found it such a hard job because it really requires concentration, adaptability, because of course nothing goes according to plan. So maybe one actor was, fell sick and the other one could not make it on time. And then the director didn't make his flight on time. So you had to really juggle a lot of those elements. And how do you cope with that?
I think ADs, especially second ADs, just love change. We have to. it's one of my favourite sayings. You know, the only constant is change, because
right
on a film production or a TV production, yeah, as you say, the things are changing minute to minute. You know, especially in today's environment as well. But yeah, people sleep in. People miss their flights. They become ill. You know, if they're doing stunts, there might be an accident on set where not serious one, but they might have a little accident where they might twist their ankle for some point and they can't carry on that day. So you have to be ready to change what we're doing at the drop of a hat, really, and come up with another scenario, another scene to shoot, find who's available at short notice to come in to pick up the day's work, so we don't lose all that time. Because again, shooting a television or a film, time is of the essence, and it can cost a lot of money to the production company if there's a lot of downtime with, you know, hundreds of crew sometimes standing around doing nothing if we have to wait. So yeah, we do have to be very adaptable and be able to just change things, and that can happen even with a call sheet. You know, we might start the day and I'm prepping a call sheet for the following day with a 7:30 crew call, and then as I work through the call sheet, I realize that actually these cast have got a 12-hour turnaround, and they're going to be with us right to the very end of the day, even though they weren't originally going to be. So we have to push the crew call by an hour. So
of course, because there is also rules and union rules as to how many hours in a row an actor can work.
Yeah, and then you know, bad weather comes rolling in, and we're shooting outdoors. You know, do we make a wet weather call, and all of a sudden we're changing the call sheet again to shoot indoor scenes the next day? So yeah, it can change a lot.
Yeah. Okay. And then calling the right extras or supporting actors, and or maybe are not available because they're shooting somewhere else. It brings back all these fun memories, and sometimes it was not that fun, but it's definitely makes life very, very active, let's say. And then when it works,
yes,
I always think it making a movie or a series is a miracle, honestly, because it's everything falls into place somehow. Who's your closest department? Like, you're working with a team, and then who do you really work closely with?
So as the second AD, the departments I work the closest with are costume and makeup. Again, depending on the show, the prosthetics team, the stunt team, and then obviously my own or the AD team itself, and then any cast drivers. So they are the sort of the closest departments. And then within that, and then also sort of on the sort of the next level would be the technical departments on set, just because as a second AD, you're always collecting information about what they require as far as, you know, do the lighting department need a pre-call to do a pre-light? Do the grips need extra time in the morning to build a techno crane, for example, so that's ready for when we come to do the block in the morning, first thing of the scene that we're shooting. So,
yeah. Now, you have, of course, done many years as a second AD, but how did you start? Like, let's go back to your studies. What did you study back in your, you know, high school or university years?
Yeah, okay. I studied, and I never finished my degree, but I studied psychology and tourism management.
Oh, okay. Not too close, but you know, psychology could be a very good factor, actually, a very good element to know.
Yeah, actually, I tell you what, it really is. So I was sort of second year in my university studies, and I just for a bit of extra money, really, I was enrolled with a talent agency just to, you know, pick up some work as an extra or to help boost the old wages as a student, just to help me through. And I one day got a call from my agent, and she said that the BBC was in town and they were filming a two-part TV series called The Lost World, and they were looking for a stand-in slash runner, and asked me if I wanted to go along to the interview. I didn't really know what a stand-in runner was at the time, but I thought, yeah, why not? Look, it doesn't hurt. So I went along to the interview, and I ended up getting that job with the BBC. So shooting in New Zealand for 8 weeks, and a stand-in is basically someone who stands in for the actor that they've been hired to, who they sort of resemble. And as the camera department are setting their marks, the lighting department are lighting the scene, the stand-in stands there and walks through the action of the actors so that they can build the shot, so that when the actors come back in, everything's set and they just sort of go back into rehearsal. So I became a stand-in runner. And again, the other side of that coin, the runner, is someone who runs water, runs teas and coffees, who might run from set to the production office or to pick up things that departments have left behind or forgotten. So yeah, it was a crazy but really fun job all around in New Zealand. And that's my first job. Now, at the end of that job, they were going back to London to do the last 2 weeks of filming. So I said to the second AD, whose name was Phil Booth, and to the producer, Christopher Hall, I said, if I flew myself to London, would they employ me for the last 2 weeks? And they both said, yes, absolutely. So yeah, that's what I did. I flew myself to London and I worked for 2 weeks to finish that job. And then I had a 2-week holiday and flew home.
And that was it. Yeah. That was the beginning of your career, and you never left.
No, I never left. And I mean, it was the beginning of my career. The first AD on that job was a gentleman called Guy Healy. And I learned later on that Guy actually had a degree in psychology, but he was a first AD. Now, he's a first AD who I really looked up to. And I ended up working with Guy and Phil as a team with their English-based third on 4 other productions. So I came back from that job. I was back home for a month, and I got an email from Phil asking me if I wanted to come back and do a feature film in the UK called Bend It Like Beckham. So I flew back and I did that job. And again, I stayed for that job. I was a floor runner driver on that job.
Okay.
Finished that, came back to New Zealand. And then about 3 or 4 weeks later, again, I got another email asking if I'd want to come back for another feature film. And it just kept going for sort of a couple of years.
As a runner, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was as a stand-in initially, a runner, and then a sort of the last job I sort of end up doing a lot more sort of third AD work within the team as well. Yeah.
And third AD, what does he do?
So the third AD is the person who's on set, who supports the first AD on set. The third AD will do a lot of the looking after what the crew require as far as communications, i.e. we use radios, RTs on set. The third AD will be that person who makes sure that they are handed out, issued to personnel with their earpieces, and make sure the batteries are charged each day. Also on set, they will look after cast, they will set background. And again, it depends on what kind of show or production. There might be a second who's also on set. So the third AD will be more in the cast world, and the second will be more supporting the first with the technical departments and setting background. So it just depends on the level of the show, really.
Okay. And the step to then becoming second AD, because of course you got such a responsibility. If you make a mistake on the call sheet, then it's going to be a mess. How did you move then into becoming a second AD? Did you first, were working side by side to the second AD initially?
Yeah, it comes with sort of, I guess, learning as you go. And I mean, all my training has been on set, so it's been definitely on the job training all the way, and just watching what the the people around you do, watching what the second AD did, what the first AD did. And then one day an opportunity came along to be a second AD on a small TV show in New Zealand, a kids TV show. And it was sort of, here you go, this is what we need. Here's the template from the previous season and make it work. Yeah.
There's no better way to learn than, you know, the hard way.
Well, exactly. Yeah, being dropped in at the deep end sometimes, you know, you sink or you swim. And I think if you've got the right personality, you've got the right mindset, you can make anything work. And you just, if you know, if you don't know, you ask.
Right. And talking about personality, what do you think is are the best skills that one should have to be a second AD?
Yeah, I think you've got to be a great listener. And an excellent communicator. Listening is a big thing, because every department will be talking to you, telling you what they need, and you've got to listen hard and take all that on board. Listening also applies to, I mean, there's been many, many occasions where casts have just come to me and just, I guess, downloaded at the end of the day, and just being a good listener and being someone that they know they can come to and talk to, it gives them a place to sort of vent and yeah, to make them feel that they, you know, they're being heard. So that's one of the biggest things, is definitely a great listening skills, being a good communicator, especially when you're either a first or a third or a second on set. You know, being a good communicator verbally is a really good skill, especially if you're working with big numbers of extras. You know, because you get this big group of people, you set the scene for them, you tell them why they're there, what they're doing, and then once you're on set, you're very quickly, and it can be very short time frames, but you're setting all this background up and you're giving them motivations to move from here to there. You're giving them scenarios to be in the moment. And that can happen very, very quickly. So you've got to be a very good communicator. You've got to handle pressure quite well and not let it show. I got given the nickname Dazzle Duck because they said that I was like a duck with my feet just going 100 miles per hour under the water, but above water, they wouldn't know that I was you know, under pressure at all. And what else? I think, yeah, attention to detail, especially with the call sheet. And as an AD, you've also got to be creative as well, because you're interpreting someone else's script. You're interpreting what the director wants. When you're dealing with background, especially, you know, what the director is doing with their actors, you've got to sort of help then pass information on to the background so they don't look out of place. And, they're working within the scene to complement the scene rather than distract the scene, you know, distract from the scene.
I see. And is there something, you know, that you find really easy in your job? And then what do you find really hard sometimes?
I mean, look, I grew up doing logistics puzzles. So I really like the fact of having to fit, especially, so when you do the call sheet and you've got 10 actors and they've all got to be ready at the same time, but the 10 actors are made up by, say, 5 makeup artists. And they all have various lengths of time they need to be in the chair for, depending on who they are and what's required. So that puzzle of getting them all through the chairs, through costume as well, to let them have something to eat so they don't go to set hungry, and especially when you're dealing with children, that puzzle of putting that all together, I really like. And I don't necessarily find it easy as such, but I enjoy it and I'm quite good at it. So I think that makes it a little easier. Yeah, I think, as I said before, you know, look, as a second AD, you've got to be ready for change at all times. I mean, but at times change can be not so much hard, but very, very, very frustrating, especially when it changes multiple times in a day. And I know it happens for reasons. But yeah, there are times, especially on the, you know, after a long week, and you know, the last thing you want to do is make all these changes sort of at the last hour of the day. So yeah, it can be hard, it can be frustrating, but it's part of the job, and kind of just sort of, you know, keep the legs paddling and get on with it.
Awesome. And is there like a typical work day? Like, are there some standard, let's say, cycles during the day that you can say, okay, that's what I do, you know, every day I can expect to do this and that?
Yeah, absolutely. Every day on a film or a television series is exactly the same. You know, it's the same process every day, but it's never the same day because we're shooting different material. We're in different locations. But the process is in the morning. You know, I will arrive pretty much one of the first crew to arrive at the unit base. I'll make sure that all the cast trailers are set up, make sure that they've been cleaned overnight by the cleaning or transport crews. I will put sides into their trailers. Sides are the small script pages for the scenes that we're shooting for that day. I will then take call sheets and I will put them into the costume and the makeup trucks just so that those artists and dressers know, you know, have a record of what's going on. I mean, they know already because they've been working with it, you know, from the day before, but it's just a good reminder and also helps me know, you know, have these people arrived, you know, again, because as you said, people sleep in. So it's, if I go to the makeup truck or the costume truck, I know, oh, they haven't arrived yet, but I'll just keep checking to make sure they're here so that I don't take a cast member into makeup and there's no makeup artist for them to be made up by. That's can be quite embarrassing.
Especially some sensitive actors.
Oh, yes, yes, exactly. I've had a few of those in my life. yeah, so that's the sort of the morning. And then it's basically monitoring these days. You know, we use WhatsApp as a cast driver group. I'll monitor WhatsApp, make sure the cast drivers are standing by for the cast. They're being picked up, they're traveling on time. And then once they arrive, it's just making sure that they go through their processes on time. And until those cast members are on set, and then I can sort of start getting into the call sheet. I mean, it's always whilst you're waiting for those cast to travel or you started to prep the call sheet, you know, you're starting to work on it. You're looking at the overall schedule so you know what's coming up so you can start putting that into the call sheet. And then once they're on set, it's really sort of get down to work on that, start discussing the following days with all those departments I mentioned earlier and building that call sheet, yeah.
I wonder if there are some other, you know, jobs within the film production that you could cover or that you would be interested in covering, or is it once second AD, always second AD?
I have firsted some little shows, some short films. I've firsted a TV series, sort of a one-off TV special, actually. And the little web series. So yeah, I mean, it's a different set of skills being a first AD. You're on the floor and you're working with the technical departments. There are crossovers. I mean, still with a first AD, you know, very conscious of time. So time management is a big one. So there is, definitely wouldn't be averse to doing some more firsting at some stage. I've been a cast coordinator.
Okay.
Which I did for a short while on a Cowboy Bebop, sort of a couple of years ago. It's all sort of the behind the scenes stuff, making sure the cast, you know, flights and travel and accommodation and their contracts, and you know, go to the agents and get signed off and make sure everything's sort of all the boxes are ticked before they even step on the set. So, and then just dealing with their day to day needs as we go through the production, you know, the massages and their recovery sessions and yeah, all these little things that casts need when they're working hard. And
in all these years of working as second AD, what lesson have you learned, one or more, of course, that you would say today I can benefit from this lesson?
I think the one lesson I can actually think of, it wasn't when I was a second AD. I was actually the second on Avatar. And I took a group of the military performers, the stunts and the featured extras, to an off-site community hall to do a day of training. And the manager of this community hall turned up with a reporter and a photographer saying that they'd just done a piece on the manager for some, I can't remember exactly what it was, but for some story that they've been doing. And they just wanted to get a photo of him in the hall. And it's like, well, no, you can't really be in here because we've got all these people in costume and they're doing training. And I said, oh, no, we'll be fine. We're just going to go to the back corner and, you know, the camera will be facing away and it's fine. So I said, okay, well, look, that's fine. I watched them do it. And then they left. But what I didn't realize is that they stopped in behind around the corner and they must have taken a photo because the next day I got a phone call from the production manager saying, what the hell is going on, Darren? Have you seen today's paper? And plastered on the front page of the paper was a picture of one of the stunt women with a prop gun. Yeah, and I wasn't very popular for a couple of days, but in hindsight, that film was hugely successful. It did not do that film any damage whatsoever. And as we all know, Avatar was one of the biggest grossing films of the, you know, of all time. So I think in the end, I actually did them a favor. You know, so. But the lesson there is, because it's all this information for films, you know, all the production companies want to keep everything so quiet and we all sign non-disclosure agreements and everything like that. The lesson there is basically don't let reporters into a training session.
Yeah, no, that's great. And one last question, because I could go on forever. I love to listen to you. What advice could you give to a young person who would like to enter your line of work? Because it's not easy, right? I mean, it's really a closed world, right?
It can be a closed world, yeah. I mean, it is, I think, just persistence, determination, and just being willing to do whatever it takes, especially if you do get that first initial breakthrough and you get that first job, just always looking to be busy. I think that's one of the things that I did really well when I was younger. I was just so amazed at this industry and I just couldn't believe that I was actually there, that I just wanted to be involved in everything. And I think that showed that I was, because I wanted to be involved and do everything, you know, I'd put my hand up for any sort of anything that was happening on set. You know, if the bins needed to be changed and I wasn't doing anything, I'd help clear the bins. You know, I'd run water. I would just do anything because I just wanted to be involved and I didn't want to stand around and not do anything. And that showed that, you know, this person really wants to be here and they're really keen. And then it's just basically when you are on set and you're there and just watching what everyone's doing, because being, you know, as a stand-in or a runner or an on-set PA, that's the place where you get to see everything happening around you and taking all that in, then you get to know all these different departments and what they do and knowing that information as you move up in the AD world, because if you're on set as a third and someone says to you, go and get a bazooka, all of a sudden, you know, a bazooka, I found out, was a piece of equipment that the grips use to raise the camera up off the dolly. You know, but at that time, someone said, get a bazooka. It's like,
you would think of a gun.
Am I going to the art department to get a prop bazooka? What am I doing? But yeah, so knowing what departments do, and then that, as I say, then when you become a second AD, all of a sudden you've got all this background information. When you're building a call sheet, you know which departments you need to be talking to about what particular elements. So, yeah, I think as a young person, determination, persistence, you know, keep trying to get the initial break through. Be an extra. That's how I did being an extra again. I mean, it can be boring at times because you're sitting around waiting to be called to set. But at the same time, once you're on set, you get to meet people and it can be a lot of word of mouth. You know, it's that's the kind of industry it can be.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, and then you really don't need your CV anymore. Like people just call you.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so true. Well, thank you so much. It's been so entertaining. And I hope, I wish you all the best for all your future projects. I'm sure there's a lineup of projects for you and films and series. And maybe one day we'll also cross paths again. That was Darren Mackey, second AD. If you'd like to listen to this episode again or more from the JobTales series, go to worldradio.ch/jobtales or search JobTales, T-A-L-E-S, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Laura Leoncini, and I'll be back next week for another episode of JobTales with a brand new guest, same time, next week, here on WRS.